Hey everyone, and welcome back to Your Money Your Life podcast, episode 206 of the podcast. Make sure before we get into the podcast, you like, subscribe, 5-star rate, and review the pod wherever you're listening. If you're watching on YouTube, do the same thing. Hit the notification bell. Also leave a comment because we have a lot to get into in this episode 206. So the first thing that we always do is give a brief update of the market. So let's look at the year-to-date chart first. As you see the year-to-date chart right here, let's get organized on YouTube, folks. Year-to-date, we're up almost 1% since the beginning of January. And so it's been kind of again a good month, a good half year for the markets, a good year for the markets of 2023. And now we're getting into a new landscape of 2024, which is going to be based on the things we've talked about: Fed policy, inflation, unemployment, housing, the consumer demand, all those things that we've talked about before. So if you look at inflation, new inflation data came out, and it was a little bit hotter than expected. So again, every month we get this consumer price index, we get PCE, we get all these di different things. So the consumer price index just came out for December, and it showed that prices ticked up slightly at 0.3% over the last month. Which was an increase from 0.2% that we saw in November. And then prices rose 3.4% year over year, which was a decent increase there. So economists were expecting a little bit tamer, cooler inflation data, which didn't come to fruition. Core inflation also came in at 3.9% on an annual basis. Again, this is the new data, and here this chart. I like this chart on Yahoo Finance, really showing where we've gone since 2022, and you know, really we saw in 2021 what we were doing with so much capital and money sloshing around, a lot of extra expenditures, all these different things, which drove prices up. Because when you give folks money, they tend to buy things, which is normal, and so you saw that happening in 2021, late 2022. You saw that really rising, and now you're seeing it start to try to come back down, but a little bit of uptick here. And that's going to make the Fed's policy be interesting going forward. I've always said they're going to be higher for longer, just based on the fact that, one, they haven't reached their inflation target yet, and two, we haven't seen a weaker consumer at all. Unemployment's still pretty low, which is going to cause prices to rise as people spend their discretionary capital. So, we saw a lot of people pricing in the odds of a soft landing. Soft landing means when the Fed is literally particularly trying to slow the economy down, they somehow do it in a way where they balance it out, where they slow it down enough, where prices come down enough, but they don't really pull us into a deep recession, which is really, really tough to do. And I don't think they'll be able to do that. There's going to be something that has to break before we get into lowered rates, and different things of that nature. So we're going to keep a close eye on that. That's going to be driving the markets going forward. And this data is driving kind of what's going on in the early, in the futures. The futures came off their highs. The futures came off their highs and now trading a little bit lower to start the day, the trading day. Let's move into news on the SEC, news on Bitcoin ETF. So the Securities Exchange Commission, which approved, they have to approve, and they really kind of regulate our markets. They approved an exchange trade fund for Bitcoin. So they're going to allow agencies and investing companies, asset managers like BlackRock, Grayscale, to be able to have a spot ETF. It will allow direct, quote unquote, exposures of Bitcoin without holding the digital currency. So makes no sense to me. I mean, you know, I'm not a incredible purist that you have to have even a wallet or different things of that nature, even though you should, but you definitely makes no sense to me to buy the ETF rather than just buying, you know, Bitcoin itself or Ethereum, which will probably be the next currency, digital currency, to have a approved SEC approved ETF. So it was incredible news for, I mean, it means that really that, you know, a lot of these asset managers are going to have to buy a lot of Bitcoin and Ethereum if they're going to be, you know, one, having an ETF for them. So they're going to be buying up, which is going to pr drive the price up because these big institutions essentially have to buy cryptocurrency at this point if they're going to be doing a spot ETF. So that's good news for cryptocurrency holders like myself, who've always said hold, have exposure, don't go crazy, don't trade, don't gamble, but have some long-term exposure because again, this stuff is getting more and more mainstreamed. And we've always said that, and that's why we've kind of backed that 100% for a while now. And you see it in the price now. We don't have it up here, but Bitcoin's creeping up closer to nearing 50,000 again. When people left it for dead at the end of, during 2022 in the bear market, again, they don't have any, there was no conviction, there was no long-term belief, there's no data, no analysis, just kind of winging it. Google's laying off a few people. Google has joined Amazon to announce layoffs. They're going to cut a little bit, 100. The recent layoffs include video game product maker Unity Software, which is letting go of 1,800 people. I hadn't even heard that Google had owned a Unity Software. Never knew it. So a small layoff for a company that owns and has a lot of employees. But of course, it makes the news on a slower news day. When we're just talking about inflation and different things of that nature. Let's see what else we got. There was another good story that I wanted to make sure I hit. Oh, this is interesting. Fanatics, the big collectibles company, they did a deal with LeBron James, who'd always been with Upper Deck, but they did a, I think it's a one-on-one deal. So he teamed up with trading card. Fanatics teams up with the trading card, exclusive trading card contract, sports merch master Fanatics. And they're doing a LeBron rookie card, or what, excuse me, they're doing a deal. And I think one of the deals is with Bronny, his son. So the deal numbers are under wraps, but experts say Fanatics could be paying LeBron $5 million a year after he ended his partnership with Upper Deck, which he started when he was a rookie in 2003. So they're doing a deal with him. I think there was a card that he signed and Bronny signed, which is really amazing. Bronny, his son. And I wonder what that would go for. I mean, that's a pretty impressive card. Like that's really, imagine you played in the NBA for two, what is he at, 2 decades? Yeah, 2 decades. And then your son is one draft class away. He can be drafted after this year of college basketball. That's kind of impressive. Incredible, actually. Student loan services are facing fines as repayments are still sloppy. So, there's been a pause. There was a pause for more than 3 years on student loans. Since October, the payment restart has been plagued by 3 million in billion mistakes, 3 million plus in billion mistakes, and customer service wait times up to 9 hours. So, servicers restarted the student loan charge, and there's been mistakes, different things of that nature. And people are being fined as repayments. The servicers are being fined as they're, one, making it inconvenient for their customers. And really causing long customer service wait times, which is incredibly hard. I've dealt with it with Peloton. We had to call Peloton and get our Peloton Plus fix for months. And we had to wait at sometimes on the phone to even speak to the representative for like an hour, just waiting for an hour. That makes no sense to me. It's very, very frustrating for someone that utilizes his time efficiently. That's crazy. It's now a thing where industry loan services are now really gonna have to deal with it. There might be fines, issues. People might come down on them because of when it's making it again harder for people paying their student loans, and then you've probably ever seen. So that's something to keep your eyes on in the future. Let's look at more. Oh, this is a scary story. The Boeing airplane blowout. So Boeing had a 737 MAX grounded, all their 737 MAX grounded after one of their planes that was on Alaska, flying through Alaska Airlines, the door blew off. The door blew off in air, which is probably the scariest thing you can think of when you're in air and a door blows off. Luckily, no one was sitting in that seat, luckily, and no one was actually injured this because the phones flew out. Different things flew out of the sky. Someone said there's a iPhone that fell to the floor that was unbroken and open and working. And this is again, they were in the air on Saturday. I was happened on Saturday or happened over the weekend, I believe. Of course, Boeing stock took a hit. But again, that's a scary, scary thing. A door blew off when they were 16K feet in the air. No one was seriously injured. I thought no one was injured at all. I don't know what that means, but seriously, maybe something, some debris hit someone, but they landed safely. But there's been a huge fallout for Boeing. Of course, you know, when you think about airplanes and different things of that nature, there's no room for miscalculation. There's no room for mistakes. There's no room. There's a call like a beta. There's no wiggle room at all. They have to be perfected. And that door blowing off is a big miscalculation on someone's part. And so there could be a lot more coming down the pipeline with this. Obviously, the stock took a hit. There could be lawsuits. There could be different things that we'll have to keep our eye on. And of course, those planes are grounded for the foreseeable future, and we figure out what is actually going on. So, scary, scary story there. Luckily, no one was injured in that regard. There wasn't much, again, in a quiet news day. The biggest news was inflation, which we covered. Oh yes, we see also saw a lot of one for the sports people out there. This is not a we're gonna do a little aside, but sports people out there, we did see college football national championship. Michigan did win that game. Congrats to them. We saw a bunch of coaches now, one being fired or legends leaving the game. Nick Saban, one of the greatest coaches of all time, is now retiring. Bill Belichick is out at New England. They didn't say he was retiring, but they did say him and New England have parted ways. Pete Carroll out at Seattle. So a lot of changes in the landscape of legendary coaching, which is really interesting. Some of the legends in the game might be hanging it up. Well, for our roundtable, we wanted to discuss the SECURE Act and, in general, changes that are happening to retirement plans, 401ks, IRAs. And the SECURE Act of 2022, SECURE Act 2.0 of 2022, it was signed into law end of December 2022. It's sweeping changes on retirement plans. So mostly it's tied to like your employer. So we'll talk about that. But some of them might apply to outside of your employer. And here I have the document ready for us. So startup tax credit. So we're going to read them and kind of learn them together. Again, these are changes that came into law. There's a startup tax credit. Increases the credit to 100% of qualified startup costs for employees. Employers with 50 employees, additional credit up to 1,000 per employee. I don't think that would apply to many listeners. Automatic enrollment and escalation. Okay. Effective January 1st, 2025, employers were required to automatically enroll employees in their retirement plan. So remember, it was a kind of an opt-in thing. Starting 2025, employers will be required to automatically enroll employees, which I think is good in some cases. It'll be at least between 3%, but no more than 10% of the employee's pay. The deferral must increase by 1% each year, up to 10% if it starts lower than that. Employees have the option to opt out of participation at any time. So that's a big one. So 2025, you will have automatic enroll in a 401k if your employer offers that. I wonder if they cannot. Yeah, they can. They don't have to offer it, but they will if they do. That has to be automatic. Expand and catch up. People always love these. Increase the annual contribution amount for participants 60 to 63, at least 10,000 or 150% higher of the regular limit on contributions. So again, there's always that catch-up provision for 50 people 50 and over. And now if you're 60 to 63, you're getting close to that retirement age. They said, all right, we're going to give you an extra 10K. Take that. Take that. So another extra 10K on that. So that's another one. Catch-up contributions as Roth. Again, so for any participant earning over 145,000 extended FICO wages for the previous tax year with the same employer, but their catch-up contributions must be made as Roth contributions. So that one starts in 2026. Let's see. Employer matching and non-elective contributions requiring minimum distributions. So remember, the reason why we're saving and investing and doing things that we're supposed to do in these younger years is because in your older years, you will live off this money. And the government says you actually have to take some of the money out, especially in 401ks and IRAs at a certain age. You can't keep it in there because some of these accounts, they haven't taxed it yet. So the requirement to begin taking RMDs is called required minimum distributions. Once you reach a certain age, you're required to start distributing from these retirement accounts. It's going to increase from 72 to 73 in 2023, and then to age 75 in 2033, because people are living longer, people are working longer. They need to also account for those things, increase that. Required minimum distributions from designated Roth accounts. Roth amounts will no longer be subject to RMD rules during their lifetime. That makes sense because, again, a Roth is after tax, so they don't need their tax money from it. So you won't be subject to RMD rules. Employer matching for student loan repayments. This is a big one. So Beginning in 2024, student loan payments would count as retirement contributions for the purpose of qualifying for matching contributions in a workplace retirement account. In addition, employers will be able to make contributions to their company retirement plan on behalf of employees paying student loans instead of saving for retirement. So that's interesting. So if you're paying your student loans and you don't have enough in the budget to contribute to a 401k, you could elect or ask for them to match what you're paying for student loans, or match a certain percentage of what you're paying for student loans into your 401k for you, just because you're, because it counts as contribution to 401k if you're paying student loans. So the matching contribution with student loan payments must vest under the same schedule as other matching contributions. Employees must be eligible for a match in order to receive the student loan match contribution. So you have to be vested in their plan or whatever it is to be eligible for a match. And again, I think it's, there's still guidance coming on this. It's going to be an interesting one, but this is one of the big ones that people were discussing. And again, I don't think it's mandatory. I think your employer has to opt into doing this. But if people make enough noise, they might do this. So that's a big one. Employer matching, student loan repayments, penalty-free emergency withdrawals. That's a big one for people. Plan participants will now be able to draw up to $1,000 per year from the retirement savings account for emergency expenses without having to pay the 10% penalty for early withdrawal if they're under the age 59 and a half. Remember, IRAs, 401ks, under 59 and a half, pay the early 10% withdrawal penalty. But now they're saying, you know, hey, $1,000 in emergencies may happen per year. We'll let that go. And no further emergency distributions may be made during the three-year repayment period. So you have 3 years to repay it. And then no further distributions can be made during that 3 year period. So that's another big one. I think we talked about the major ones. Yeah, those are the major ones. Low to middle income employees will be eligible for federal matching contribution up to $2,000 per year that must be deposited in their retirement savings account. That's another one. Savers match that starts in 2026. So we hit on most of them. Those are incredible. It's good to know, good to keep abreast, continuing education. And now, as you know, the Roth IRA limits for 2023-2024 are now 7,000. So tax year 2023 was 6,500. Now tax year 2024, if you're contributing for 2024, it's 7,000 if you're under age 50, 8,000 if you are 50 years or older. Roth contribution limits for 2024, single filers, meaning if you make over this amount, you can't single file, directly contribute to Roth, which would be 140,000 on a Roth contribution. Joint filing, it's 230,000 is the max income to directly contribute to Roth. But again, the new limits are 7K for tax year 2024. Again, you can still contribute for 2023 up until April, up until tax day. So you still have time to do so. So those are the limits. Those are good things to know as we just discuss in our roundtable. Our 401k, our IRAs, and different things that are changing, continuing education changing during this time period. Always, always good to know. So one, we have gone through a pretty in-depth review of those sweeping changes. Make sure if someone's not tapped in, make sure they're tapped in with us so we can, one, get them help they need, and two, get them set up correctly. We'll talk to you guys next week.